So the final speaker of our afternoon panel, and then we're going to have a nice dinner break, and then we'll resume for our evening presentation, is going to be a friend of mine named CJ. Now, come on up, CJ. Yeah. CJ is one of a great crew of people here in Chicago who have decided to build the Center for Political Innovation on a local level. They've been having weekly reading groups with our educational manual. And actually, when I came to Chicago to kind of set the stage for this conference, I was blown away by how CJ has brilliant engineering skills. I mean, he has made these elaborate signs that are quite complicated to put together that say, Russia and China are not our enemy. He's been standing on street corners with these huge banners, and he is really dedicated to getting the message out there. And but it's not just CJ. I want everyone from the Chicago Center for Political Innovation to please stand up. Can Chicago CPI people stand up for us? This conference wouldn't have happened without the hard work these folks did. And they all deserve recognition, all of you. I mean, a lot of hard work has gone on. You don't know how stressful it was to get this done, but we got it done. So I wanna give the microphone over to our great comrade, CJ. He's going to make some remarks. And then after that, I'll come up and just kind of we'll have our dinner break and move on to our evening panel. So there we go. Go ahead, CJ.
Fellow workers, comrades, and friends of the Center for Political Innovation, I would like to thank you all for joining us and address you on behalf of CPI Local in Chicago. There is a momentous change in the objective forces in history. This change, the change from a unipolar dominance of one world power, U.S. imperialism, to a multipolar world order, is being fought for on the battlefields of Novorossiya, the east of the Ukraine. We may soon see a second front in the global struggle around the rogue Chinese province of Taiwan. These two independent states, Russia and China, are emboldening others by standing up to U.S. imperialism. Countries around the world, having freed themselves from the colonial dominance of European empires, are now asserting their independence from American imperialism. Imperialism is on the back foot indeed. It is unsustainable and is presently being torn apart by its own contradictions. Principally, its desire to subordinate all others to its interests and the hope of these suppressed nations to free themselves to pursue their own interests of development and prosperity. Imperialism, however, is a complete economic system, both international and domestic. Its decline will have not only international, but also domestic repercussions. Domestic repercussions in the U.S. are principally economic, and the vast masses of our compatriots have been and will be progressively worse off than they were before if our leadership does not correct course. What we find, however, is that imperialism in decline can no longer correct course. It does not have the strength to do so. The only way to change course is by abandoning the entire imperialist system, abandoning the system of profits in command, abandoning capitalism. The ruling class refuses to do this, hitching the fate of our country to the fate of their rotten system. Our rulers will only be able to maintain their control with the most barbarous and lawless tactics. In short, the ruling class will choose fascism. Yes. These conditions will eventually lead all other classes in society into revolt against them. However, it is only the working class that presents the way out. The true capitalism or democratic socialism of the declining petty bourgeoisie and labor aristocracy offer no solutions. Amid the general cry for an answer, we must put forward the only material solution. The solution begins with popular power behind demands that are similar to our four-point plan to rescue the country. These points: a mass mobilization to rebuild the country, public control of our natural wealth, public control of banking, and an economic bill of rights can only come through popular power challenging the property relations of imperialism in decline. The objective forces in history are indeed changing. The subjective forces, the proletariat defending its own interests, the advanced sections of the working class, socialists, must keep pace. We urgently need organization and political education directed at reaching the masses, or else we will fall behind. In light of these necessities, organization and education, I would like to speak to you about the formation of CPI Chicago, its development, and its prospects. While at first none of us had serious prior organizational experience or considerable depth of ideology, listening to Caleb Maupin's streams on being honest with our revolutionary history, defending existing socialist and sovereign states from imperialism, and the necessity of developing a constructive 21st century socialism for America, inspired us to expand our own individual knowledge of Marxism. When the call came out to organize locals of CPI, we immediately understood the necessity of organizing these isolated individuals into members of a collective project, and we recognize that, at this moment in history, this collective project must focus on political education. For this reason, we have taken up the name the Chicago Workers' School. Because Sam, Dana, and I lived near each other on the South Side, we decided to start a neighborhood-level reading group. Since then, our ideological level has risen dramatically. This rise in ideological level has prepared us for the events that have unfolded and are unfolding internationally and domestically. From the Canadian truckers movement to the present NATO proxy war on Russia, to the deindustrialization and its effects on and the effects of capitalist property relations and housing in Chicago. From this came the idea that we still hold to this day, that our local in Chicago should be a network of neighborhood reading groups, each studying Marxism-Leninism, scientific socialism, from around the world and from our own revolutionary past. Based on our experiences in the Southside group, we have determined that these small groups of members meeting in a set location regularly to discuss readings and meeting around their neighborhoods for various forms of actions is an excellent way to build camaraderie, mutual commitment, and dedication to the CPI project. Since last September, our local has grown dramatically and is now up to 12 active members. Here they are in the order they joined. Dana, myself, Sam, Anthony, Gabby, Paul, Ben, Brian, Caitlin, Artyom, Nicola, and Ash. There's probably an equal number of people that have expressed interest in CPI Chicago but have not pursued membership. While it is essential to have sympathizers, allies, and even less engaged members, it is perhaps more important, more fundamental to the organization, to build a cadre of dedicated activists. We have been working towards this end, making members into cadres. The first step for prospective members is to read and discuss the introductory manual, We Are City Builders, in a reading group. We conduct these meetings online because our new members' locations are usually scattered throughout Chicago and the adjoining suburbs. This text pulls all our members into a shared discourse around the founding ideas of CPI. From there, our strategies for building cadres are principally strengthening personal relationships between our members, engaging members in all areas of decision-making, and calling upon all members to participate in educational projects and practical work. Perhaps the greatest criticism that could be made regarding our membership is that we were all recruited with the help of Caleb Maupin's platforms, not through our own recruitment efforts. While there are certain benefits that come from organizing online, we must, as a local, also be appealing to advanced workers ourselves. While we have done more minor spontaneous outreach events before, largely around the slogan, Russia and China are not our enemies, Wall Street is, and politicized community service, such as removing ice from bus stops and sidewalks, our first foray into more organized and consistent outreach campaign only began this July. With the lessons of practice and the dedication of revolutionaries who understand the course of history, we can resolve this issue. With developed cadres and a dynamic and growing organization, there are few obstacles between us and the masses that we cannot overcome, and there are no such obstacles that the masses themselves cannot overcome. Marx's goal was to elevate the working class to be the ruling class. Studying Marx and his students has indeed elevated all of us to a higher level on the political economic plane on which the battle for society and our collective future is presently being fought. We will continue our educational and practical work, emphasizing class struggle and anti-imperialism, always criticizing our mistakes and shortcomings, and growing as an organization from this criticism. We will continue to have faith in the masses, especially as the great societal question more clearly appears before all our compatriots, socialism or barbarism. We have no doubt that people will choose socialism. I will end our comments by first appealing to those of you from Chicago to join CPI Chicago, and those of you from elsewhere to join or start your new CPI section, to put your energies into a collective effort. And finally, by highlighting that an event CPI as a national organization is planning concerning Korean unification. We have seen that the imperialist camp is launching provocations in all the existing conflict zones, yet we know that the will of the Korean people is reunification along the lines of one country, two systems. We must do what we can to prevent another fratricidal war launched by imperialism. You will hear more about this as the date approaches, but for now the event will be on August 27th. Thank you all.